Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about farts.
That was Mitch. Mitch ripped a big one.
Also known as flatus or flatulent in the science community, we will be talking about what causes farts, why some are smellier than others, how to reduce your farts, and the reason we're bringing up those studies is because I have a problem. Let's get into it.
Flatus. I'm going to learn lots of new things on this podcast. I didn't know it was called flatus.
Oh, you've been reading this. You've been reading the science journals, but you didn't know it was called flatus.
I mean, I just was thinking Gladys. So what a name. So
Gladys Knight.
Flatus.
Gladys Knight and the Pips. Did you know that me and my parents saw Gladys Knight in Detroit about 4 years ago? Beautiful night. We'll never forget it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Fox Theater
what
in Detroit.
What stood out to you? Like, just the performance, the atmosphere?
So, you know, we always like to riff a little bit off the top sentence. We're like, what are we going to talk about? Boom, I've brought us there. And it's something that, in a pandemic, I've missed deeply, and that's the city of Detroit. You might see me with my D hat, yes.
You think it's about dick?
You might. No, it is about dick. Oh. Like, I do love dick, and so I wear the Detroit hat because I love dick. But also, it's because I love the Detroit Institute of Art, also known as the DIA, the best art gallery in the world, in my opinions, in Detroit. Sometimes bros come up to me and they go, oh, you like the Tigers? And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And they're like, well, you're wearing the hat of a sports team. Anyways, Detroit is incredible. It was a beautiful theater in Detroit that I saw this concert with my family. Loved it.
Yeah, we're fans of Detroit. It's a cool city. And yeah, hopefully we'll be able to go back soon. Maybe I don't know. It's just a fun place to travel.
Well, it's also so close to Toronto.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, how long? 3-4 hour drive or something?
Yeah, like you can get there in 4 hours if you have a speed demon friend, which I do have. Hey, shout out to Mark Ferkel. We won't go there, but he's gotten some tickets with me.
Oh, no. Wait, have you ever gotten a ticket driving?
No, because I don't drive ever because I'm like so bad at it. No, this isn't even funny. I almost killed someone today. I'm so bad at driving.
Oh, in the car. Like,
yeah.
In
and
the,
I knew who it was, and he DM'd me, and he's like, did you almost just kill me? I'm like, I seriously shouldn't be allowed to drive. Oh, I kind of don't know why I have my driver's license.
I've only gotten a ticket once, and it was when you were moving to Folkestone for a year to teach in England, and I was bawling my eyes out driving, and I just wasn't paying attention to the speed limit. It was like after I left your house saying goodbye.
That's a movie.
No, I know. And then I had the moment where I was like, am I going to tell the police officer? That's why.
Sir, my boyfriend.
But I was like, it was long enough ago that I was like, I'll be hate crime. That won't help me to say I'm gay.
You are so funny and anxious. I love that. I so would have been like, sorry, my boyfriend just left. I don't know. I'm a mess.
I regretted not doing it.
You thought you get hate crime? Well,
ACAB.
Honestly, ACAB, the history of the police with queer people in Toronto. You know, it's a rife
one. Woo! Okay, let's get into what you learned this week.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, mine is about numbers, and I got obsessed with numbers this week when I started to read about this, and I went so deep, and it was crazy, and I feel weird.
Okay, I'm excited.
Okay, so they found a hyena bone with 9 notches in it from 60,000 years ago.
Notches,
like as in like these very distinct lines. If you look at Nature Magazine, that's where I read about it. Okay. You can see the lines
of the actual picture they have.
Yeah, and it's specimen. Like, yeah, for sure, whoever made the like little ticks in that
is intentional.
Was doing
keeping
something.
Track.
Yeah, and so it's old enough, and it's in a place where there were Neanderthals, and now they're like, it was probably a Neanderthal. Sorry to you, Homo sapiens, who are listening right now. It was not one.
They
of
could
yours.
Never.
They could never. Y'all wish, but it's so long ago that it just like. What it ended up making me do was go down this rabbit hole of like, when did we start counting? Like, why do we, what are numbers? Mm. Like, it was just like one of those like philosophical things that really like took me over and was like so freaking exciting. So the definition of numbers is like actually hotly debated, which is wild. Cause like
the definition of numbers.
Yeah. Because like we rely on math, I don't know, for everything and to like look into the universe and stuff. So I'm just like, okay. But one definition that nature published, so I assume, you know, they thought deeply about this. Discrete entities with exact values that are represented by symbols in the form of words and signs. Doesn't that sound so like vague considering like the
but
weight?
That is a good definition because yeah. A number is technically an abstraction of something real.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I don't know why that, like, I'm like, that is just so crazy. It's like, it is an it's an abstraction of something that's actually so real because math.
And even if you were just ticking lines on something, say you're like marking up a cave painting because you're like a homo whatever, you're a homo.
Yeah.
yeah, it makes sense that it's representing something else.
Exactly, like those. Oh my god, like I don't know why, but math. I actually I was talking to a French person recently on the street, and I literally started to be like, "No, it's crazy. Like, I don't know how to speak French, but like, we both can speak numbers." And they were like, "What the fuck?" And then it was like, it was so weird. I was like, getting
that
really
is interesting.
Like, okay, so then here's so there's a lot of them more. And
like, obviously, you use different language to describe those numbers potentially, but you're still. Technically numbers are a language of their own.
Yeah, and I just was like, that's the one time, and like I was like, I can speak French, like, and that I can do math the same as you. And he was like, what are you talking about? But anyways, okay. Fish, bees, and newborn chicks can instantly recognize quantities of 4, and it's known as subsidizing. So like, because it's like, okay, wait, so obviously these Neanderthals and humans, like, we have these histories of counting, like, we're really good at counting and numbers, like, why is that? There's an obvious like evolutionary biologist swoop in and think that humans have an innate understanding of numbers that evolved as an evolutionary advantage through natural selection, which is why we're so good at it. Like, think of engineering, think of architecture, think of all the things that have helped us that, like, there is a biological advantage.
Require some number.
But then you're like, fish and bees and like little baby chickens can like be like, that's 4.
But
like,
then
there's literally other animals that are like really good at distinguishing 20 from 21.
Weird.
And it just makes you realize like, okay, this is all just a cognitive thing.
Evolution
that,
has primed different species to be good at different.
And it's like
versions.
It makes sense. And then this is the last thing. Sorry, I'm just like pulling from these articles where I was like, my mind was getting blown. It feels like I had just been like absolutely like railed in the ass after reading it. I was like, my hair was everywhere. And I was like, oh wow. You've knocked my consciousness off.
Wow.
Okay, so water in English is water. In German, it's Wasser, like W-A-S-S-E-R, right? Wasser. So it's like, okay, those are like obviously linked,
yeah.
Right? Like, so this is just bringing in the linguistic majors here. Yeah. But obviously so many words are like so different in German and English. But the numbers 1 to 5 are among the most stable features of spoken languages across the world. So it's like so weird because it's like, wait, have we all been counting for so long? That like 1 to 5, it's like one, like any language, there's just like this similarity where you're like, it's true. Why isn't one in one language like flackadibidi in like a long word?
Yeah.
And then I just, anyways, that's like all I can do for now. You just have to read it. We're going to have more on that.
Weird. That's really fascinating. Yeah, I'm trying to think through like the very few languages I can count in. And I'm just going through Japanese because, you know, I took karate when I was little. So I had to learn how to count in Japanese.
Wait, do it with a punch.
With the punch?
Isn't it always like,
Itch, knee, saw, she, go, rock, sitch, hatch, coo,
ju. It's like not that close to one, but
no, I know, but maybe it is how, like, as you, as the numbers get bigger, like, they're probably
like,
longer.
And it's like when you, when I guess linguists study all words, say they go to water, they're like, well, water in German and English is the same, but now water in Japanese, like, what the hell? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there must be
some way that they're quantifying that they're similar.
Again, it's from Nature Magazine.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, whether it does make sense. Obviously, we are all using numbers, and they all kind of like, at the end of the day, math is its own language, and it probably has certain qualities that bias language towards explaining it in certain ways.
Although I always do think about the aliens coming and just being like, oh yeah, that math you're doing, it's all
wrong.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's actually not how the laws of work, like, and forces of nature work, and every physicist is like, wait, I thought I was the smartest person in the world.
Yeah. That's going to be really messed up when that happens. When the aliens finally come and are just like, you're stupid.
What? You mean you don't think they've already come? Okay, go to our episode on aliens on that one.
Okay. I learned something really cool today that I want to make a video about. And you have to tell me if it's good enough, / anyone listening. Tell me if it's worth making a video. It is possible for humans to learn how to echolocate.
Whoa.
So, you know how, like, bats, like, other animals use, you know, sonic sounds to understand where they are in space as opposed to vision?
You just sing Chromatica out into the world, and then you know where the wall is.
That's gossip.
Yeah, that's gossip.
Honestly, you're not wrong. I'm going to explain it to you. So, basically, the study took both people who, like, people who were blind from birth, but also sighted people. So, they were testing people in both those categories, as well as people in different age groups and backgrounds. Over the course of 10 weeks, they were trained how to navigate by using sounds, in particular clicks, with their mouths. And so, they were trained for 2 to 3 hours for 20 training sessions. And in those training sessions, they'd be put in different scenarios. So, it'd be like, this is a T-shaped corridor. You do your click, you understand what it sounds like. Like, you're training your brain. Now here's a U-bend, here's a zigzag. Whoa. You're starting to understand what those sound like when you're in a space like that.
Oh my God.
And at the end of the program, they were not only much better than when they started, they were as competent as quote unquote expert echolocators, because apparently,
like a dolphin.
No, not like that. There are apparently humans who have practiced for years, who have this skill, who are able to like,
and they were
close their eyes.
They were literally as good as a bat.
I just thought that was so cool. I would love to learn how to echolocate.
I would love for you to learn how to echolocate and like be at a party and be like, watch this, click, click. Like walking around, everyone's like, oh,
okay.
Cool.
Well, I think the practical source of this was also as people age or for people who lose their vision, it's like a viable source to use. Or, you know, people who already are blind from birth or lose their sight, it is another aspect of like exploring how
that's
we can.
Really cool. Humans are amazing, even though we're absolutely obliterating the environment and the world. We are still amazing. We just need to be regulated by government.
And on that note, let's take a break and then start talking about farts.
Yeah. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like us, and you maybe are the friend that's constantly talking about the success that you're feeling through therapy, maybe you're hearing your friends talk about how they're loving therapy, maybe you're confused, how do I start? How do I find a therapist? What do I do? That's why we are here to talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. The counseling is done securely online and is available worldwide. Not only can you schedule weekly video or phone sessions if you don't really want to have to put on the makeup for the fair, although maybe you should check yourself if you're putting on makeup for your therapist. I think I have put makeup on for my therapy before, so never mind. You skip the long commutes. There's no waiting room energy. There's no, you know, that awkward 10 minutes early, what I do, just sit on my phone, waste time, energy, because you're doing it at home from your computer, for example. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, so you'll always get a great therapeutic match, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. It's more affordable. And there's financial aid available. Okay, ding, ding, check, check. Just head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. This also helps our show if you do this. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first month.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Okay.
Okay.
Drag me to the core of the earth, Mitch.
Obviously,
start it off.
This pod is inspired by the one and only Greg Brown and his, how shall I put this?
Flatulence.
A flatulence problem.
Okay.
Is for sure a problem. Not just for me, by the way.
Okay, know what it's called?
What?
Because I've been actually reading so many science articles about
farts. Oh, the actual issue.
It's called, what I have is called functional flatulence.
What does that mean?
Okay, so now I'm like, doesn't everyone have this? Okay, because, okay, first of all, 70 billion farts happen on this here thine earth a day.
Okay, does that include just humans, you mean? Or is that including?
Sorry, that's just like, humans.
Just humans. Okay.
Oh my God, don't make me start it on the freaking cows. Right? Yeah. Although it's mostly burps that cause methane, and we all know that. And if we don't, you know.
A video.
Yeah. So 70 billion farts a day, right? Then I'm like, okay, that like works out to like 10 per person, such as around 7 billion people on the planet.
I see. Okay.
So everyone is farting, but
but no one's talking about it.
No one's literally talking about it. Everyone's just dragging me and blaming me. Okay, but functional flatulence is when you feel like you have problems with your farting 3 days a month for 3 months. And I'm like, girl, try 3 days, 3 hours every day.
3 days. Wait, yeah, no, it's more like 3 years every day consistently.
Yeah, like, so I'm like, okay, I have that. Because I really, when I read that stat, was like, I don't like reading about fart science things. Because I'm just like, actually need to be studied.
Okay. So, yes, definitely farting is normal. It's natural. I don't have a problem with you farting. It's just at times. So there's two things. You're smelly.
Okay, so what? I'm a vegetarian.
No. Really, we're gonna. Okay. I have science for this. Okay. So, but number two, the difference, and not poo, but farts. Number two is my point. Number two is, you, what? Unlike most people, do have no shame in farts, and not that anyone should have shame in farts, but you do consider.
I actually almost think that it's like.
Greg has never ever left a room, even when it's really bad.
Oh God, I know.
I'm like, okay, if I'm around other people,
funerals, I'm farting.
Even if I'm just with Greg and I'm like, I know I'm having a bad day, gassy, whatever, I'm gonna go somewhere else and do it.
Okay,
as an act of kindness and selflessness. No, it's not.
Okay, I'm gonna drag you because I know I'm gonna get dragged for the next like 45
okay,
minutes.
What?
But I did read a study, and we've also put it in our videos, that people who are more anxious and socially conservative, socially conservative, something I don't want to be, are the people who...
You just don't like the word conservative.
Yeah.
But truthfully, that word does not have anything to do with political affiliation.
No, because I love to conserve energy.
Exactly.
But what I'm just saying is, like, then there's people on the other hand who are more like, free spirited and definitely like someone like me who like probably should be dead because I just like do things that are like, it's like those are the people who
should
don't
be dead
leave the
because
room.
Because you would not because no, I just, you should die, but it's because like, it's you're like, so absent minded, you this, might have died already.
Yeah, the study literally used people who had skydived. Under the assumption that they're
I've skydived in New Haven.
I know. I'm just saying, like, that idea of, like, let's go skydiving. Like, that is, like, the people who
they're more
fart
likely to
openly
fart.
And they don't think. I agree. I'm like, if when people fart, I've never been like, what the fuck? I'm always like, oh my God, that's so bad. But I'm like, so, I'm not like, I'm like, I kind of think it's funny. And then there are people on the other end who like you and who are probably actually really cautious and amazing people who leave rooms. I'm just like, I've never done that.
It's
and
not like
I don't need you to leave the room. And actually when you fart, I love it because I'm like, it makes me feel less bad about the fact that I'm always farting.
So, but okay. No, I totally agree that me being like anxious people often, socially anxious people are aware of everyone else. Right. So I think, and this is not a criticism because I think you are more free spirited and there's so many beautiful qualities about not always like not being anxious. You know, you're not thinking about everyone else when you fart.
Yeah.
Whereas when I do anything, it's in relation to who's in the room and how are they being impacted and are they thinking
that
and all those
fart
things.
Fart at the tip of your little anus hole must be just so like, stressful. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like barely talk in hangouts because I'm like, if I move. It's
oh
coming
my
out.
God, you constantly
no, I'm joking.
Have a fart at the tip.
It's to be honest. Okay, if it's more like if I think it's like if I know there's times when you're just gasping and it's not smelly.
Wait, what
and
did
I'm
you
like,
say you just said that so fast.
Sorry, there's times when
yeah.
If you know you're gassy, but it doesn't smell, I don't really care. Like I'm. Not,
you don't mind the noise. You don't mind blowing a big old.
I mean, I probably won't. You're right. I carry shame. It's my Catholic upbringing.
Oh God.
That sort of like be polite
that's
all the time.
Deep.
But well, I lost my train of thought.
No, you were talking just about like how when they're not smelly, you'll like you're telling me you'll push them out. I'm like, I haven't
like around you especially. If I'm okay. Around someone comfortable, and because to me it can be funny, a fart can be funny. But I think for
a fart can be funny.
A fart can be funny.
But that
for
don't
sure. But you, it surprises me that it can smell so bad, so, yeah. And then you
doity
keep
diaper.
Doing it.
It's doity
like,
diaper.
And I'm like okay. Sometimes I love kimchi. I'll always have like a jar of kimchi, and every time I open it, you'll be like, "Oh, it smells." Would you fart? And
because I'm wanting you to have farted. It's literally because I'm like trying to be like, "You tell me you fucking farted for once, please, in your goddamn life."
Obviously, fart.
And then you're like, "No, kimchi." I'm like, "Damn it."
So I have two studies I want to bring up. The first one first. Okay, it's not as related to farts, but it made me laugh thinking about us. So it said they did a study on sleep and the smell of your partner, and it found out that the smell of your partner actually helps you sleep better. And I was like, do Greg's farts help me
sleep?
Oh my
God. There you think, you scientists.
But in this case, they were using like used clothing from the partner.
Yeah, okay.
And
that's
wrapping
not, that's
it.
Not ripping
it's not the
nasty
same,
farts.
Because that's like your body
and
sense.
Actually, yeah, no, this feels very
not
different.
Your excrement.
This feels very different. Like but, the shirts of the partner is a very different situation than what I'm
right,
because
perhaps it's like hormonal. But I think it's interesting because I think the evolutionary assumption, but obviously these are all just theories, is that when you're around people, even subconsciously, you're safer.
And so some people might say they're just hypotheses.
Sure.
I'm realizing
sorry,
I need to watch my language on that. Hypotheses.
Agreed that, but I mean, obviously your fart is now a signature scent tied to you.
Yes.
So if I'm sniffing that subconsciously at night, I probably, and I honestly do notice because
you're literally welcome.
We have two bedrooms, so like we sleep apart sometimes.
And it's usually because of my farts.
Like honestly, but I notice I sleep so much better, I think, when we sleep in the
I bed. Was going to bring it up. I was like, you're always like, I sleep so much better when you're here, but you have to go to the other bed because you smell like shit. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go sleep in the other bed. And then I'll rip farts and I will be like, this is insane. And then thank God I'm not with him. But I was actually giving you the best sleep.
No, because it's once you're sleeping. And if I can't fall asleep because it smells like hot garbage.
It's literally toilet. Dirty diaper, like in the sun.
Where did you get that?
It's how kids say dirty diaper.
Dirty diaper.
And I'm sorry, but it's just like dirty diaper. Like setting it normal is worse. So I just say dirty diaper.
Fair. Okay. Tell me about your family upbringing and farts.
Thank you. This is our magnum opus. This should be 17 hours. I'm kidding. Okay. So. Farts. I just want to like. We just need to like let. So imagine someone listening was like, "What is a fart?
What are they?
What are they
talking
about?" Okay, but we need to talk about what it actually is, though, because I do think that's a really important thing.
Thinky. That's what some people say, right?
That's what my mom said. Are you just really trying to get back to family?
What are other names for it? Fluffs.
Fluff.
Yeah, I think that's my auntie's safe.
No, I want to talk about what they are. The science of it. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, we need to get that out there because there's nitrogen
and helium. Oh, no.
No.
Hydrogen and helium.
Well, there is hydrogen in your gas. But, okay, there's specific things like nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon dioxide, which come out of your ass, which cause the noise, which cause that feeling of the air coming out of your hole. Those do not smell. So that's like important. That's why, you know, you can rip a fart that's really loud and funny and not smell. And that's a really cool party trick that I really would enjoy. That can come from, like, if you chew more gum, you can create more of these types of farts. It can literally be from swallowed air.
Oh, I see. Just air coming in. Okay.
But then it's like when you get to your large intestine, that's where you got a little bacteria that are going to be breaking down anything that's not digested then, and they will produce a lot of chemicals, and the ones containing sulfur are the ones that smell. And usually when you fart, it's only like 1% of it, of the sulfur containing compounds. The rest is literally the hydrogen, the carbon dioxide, the nitrogen making the actual like remnants matter of the fart. But the actual smell,
the velocity,
yeah, the velocity, the the actual smell is just the sulfur containing. So if you eat eggs or broccoli or high sulfur containing foods, you can have smellier farts. Mm. And then beans, this is where I'm getting to being vegetarian, are not easily broken down. They get to your large intestine quite often. That's why beans, I mean, it's different. It's more than you eat, the more than you too.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's true. Like, okay. That was like a legit song, because beans actually make it to your large intestine, where the bacteria go ape shit on it.
But are beans making it smelly farts? I thought they were making it mostly gaseous farts.
No, they're making it mostly gaseous farts, but
if you also have smelly.
Yeah, you're eating a lot of broccoli and beans. It's just like you're getting, you know what I mean?
You're having,
like,
a loud, stinky fart.
You're making the cocktail. Anyways, I just wanted to get that out of the way. Now you're right. We can talk about how it's growing
now, dear audience. You know what a fart is.
Yes, you need to know what a fart is. You need to know that it's not all smelly. You need to know that only 1% of it is smelly. And that's why silent but deadly can actually be a thing, because it's more likely to have a high concentration of the sulfur dioxide.
Yeah, you know it's going to be bad when it's like slow lit and hot air.
Yeah.
You know, because when it's like, it's like never usually that bad. I mean, yeah, there could be still the sulfur like compounds in there, but
know what Mitch has to also live with, because I feel like I haven't shared this party trick with other people, but when I know I'm gonna do a loud fart, I've been really working on stretching down into like the get low sexy, like you know, like drop down and like
arm
and
up.
You put your two arms up and you bring your ass to the ground and you kind of like, if I could twerk, I would twerk. What I do is I drop down, and right when I drop down to the ground, I like rip a fart.
Yeah. It sounds like your pants are ripping.
It sounds like my pants are ripping, and it's like, really?
Is that what they call it, ripping a fart?
I don't know. I've heard people say that.
No, I'm saying, is that why? It sounds like you're ripping your pants open.
No, I really, if so,
ripping a fart.
Reach out, linguist scholars. But that's a really cool party trick that people haven't seen because we've been in a pandemic, but I'm excited to unveil.
Oh, you've
the
been
world.
Practicing that since pandemic.
No, I literally have been practicing that over the past year.
Okay, back to family resemblance. Sorry, that isn't that a drag thing? So in your family, was farting openly
so
just
open.
Acceptable?
So my
funny.
Mom called them Finkies, and they were so cute.
Oh, toot. That's another
toot. But like, for sure, we would fart. We would talk. I'm like, yeah, like that's probably part of it. Like, we would never hold in our farts. We'd talk about them. We'd be like, oh gosh. Like, we'd had a stanky shit. Oh my God, don't go in there. Sounds like shit, dirty diaper. So very, very, very open, so especially weird. About farting. Like, I've never thought to not. So now your turn.
So it's interesting because I think in not just my family, but I can think of my family. Like, it's sort of like this patriarchal thing, right, in society, where like men are allowed to fart and women are not.
That is so deep.
And so even in my family, it's like my dad would fart and it'd be funny, and he could kind of, like, it was like his masculinity allowed him to do that for some reason. But I, as the little gay boy, didn't. But I feel like my older brother did, comfortably would fart out loud. But for me, I was like more feminine. My sister, my mom, it was like private. And not that they would never fart, but they would, like, you know, have. Girls are trained to, like, be polite and, like, leave the room and never fart or burp in front of a gentleman, you know? And so there's something weird about. I see that in society and in other families where boys and men are allowed to fart.
I am obsessed with that. I'm like, get Bustle online. You're writing an essay. Like, that is, like, so get interesting. What? Bustle, it's, like, an online magazine. I mean, they might be dead now. I'm sorry. Is it, like, Gawkered? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. But, oh, my God, that's so interesting. That is so fucking true. Like, it's, like... It's like now I'm like trying to be like, did my sister fart? And I'm like, okay, she did. And my mom, oops, I finkied. Like very like.
Well, I do think like, your family doesn't. How do I say this?
Like, oh yeah,
they break down the structure of that like typical patriarchy.
My dad always did the laundry. Like,
well, not even just that, but it is like they're more alternative, I think. And you grew up in a larger city, probably were exposed to more points of view, and that may not be the only reason.
My mom's literally calling me right now.
Oh my God!
Imagine I answered it and she was just like, "So you having a good thinking?" No, I'm gonna call her back. Oh my God! No, I totally love that so much. I love my family so deeply because of that. You're right. Like, I don't, there's so much patriarchal garbage in this world that is ruining it. Like, and so deeply. And I'm not trying to say that. It's just like, that is such an interesting tie. And it's ruining farts for everyone. And women can fart. And in fact, statistically, women fart more.
Women can fart.
No,
actually.
I literally, I'm like.
If you didn't know, technically and physically, a woman can fart.
No, exactly. And, no, and I'm telling you right now, scientifically, two studies I read about that, they reference this other study, women fart more, my friends. Like, that's well, awful.
They have to hold it in around people because literally people make jokes that they don't fart or poop.
Yeah, which is such bullshit. But anyways, what I'm saying is that women literally fart more, and there's a variety of physiological reasons, and it's not just because they're holding it in. It's not just because of society. It's about their large intestine, and it's about the actual physiological makeup of their bodies. But I'm saying it's also just so sad because you're right. They're being told not to fart, and it's like actually scientifically they're farting more. I don't believe in gender, but if we're going to think of binary genders, if any gender is to be the one that's allowed to fart, it's women because they're actually like farting
biologically
more.
Primed more. Or
exactly.
They have the
so
excuse.
Interesting. So
yeah,
like you're.
Why?
And I do know that's like, I remember that like elementary school feeling of like the guy farting and everyone laughing and the girls being like, stop, like you can't. And then me like sitting there and being like, this is homophobic.
So, but you know, literally.
You know what
and,
I mean?
And like, a lot of gay men, I would say, not only like fit into the category of like, don't fart. I mean, obviously there's lots of shades of gray and all this, like obviously there's lots of gay men who fart happily, but I think the stereotype is that they don't. Mm. And I'm just thinking about how, to be honest, and maybe this is going to shame you, but maybe ultimately as we get rid of this sort of toxic masculinity, ultimately it's a natural function. So you shouldn't be ashamed, but I think it's like a dominance thing. And if you're at the top of the chain, you can inconvenience others with your smell and it's funny. Whereas somebody else doing it who's subordinate, it's like, you know what I mean? Almost like maybe
I
wonder
literally,
if dogs can do like, maybe dogs only fart when they're like the dominant.
No, okay, no, you literally just went a little too far.
No, I'm
but
just
like
wondering.
Before the dog thing, I was like, you're literally blowing my mind because I'm like, that is some social science ass shit. If I was at U of T right now in social sciences, I would let you. No, I'm not even kidding, because farts are easy to study. There's so many biological studies. I've been reading them all week. There's so much stuff about it. You could easily try and like figure out and like do experiments with farting and see if it has to do with social totem poles, which are so specifically designed for men to be at the top in our fucked up patriarchal society.
Right. And I mean, there could be arguments that also it could be used to lighten the mood. Like, obviously, farts are easy place to go for jokes. And so there's one side of it that maybe is toxic masculinity, but there's another part where I'm like, does it break tension in society?
Okay,
or
this is, in I actually am obsessed with farts on such a deep level. And I'm questioning all my farts ever. I'm like, was I like, what was I doing? Like, am I trying to assert something? But what I want to say is like, okay, do you think farts are funny?
They can be, for sure. But to me, it's the sound and the idea is funny. But when it really smells, I don't think that's funny because then I'm actually disturbed.
We talked about it. We had a therapy session about my farts. Like, that's raw. That's me being raw.
Do you not feel this way, though? Like, if you smelt something so offensive.
I'm not kidding. Like, I know that I'm usually the smelliest one in the room and I know I'm dirty. We were just in a park with our friends and a really dirty dog walked by and they were like, everyone's like, that's Greg. It's so dirty. And I was like, are you serious? But anyways, so like I do not ever think a fart is ever offensive. Like, I always am like,
it's never smelled bad enough for you to think it's gross.
Oh my God, no, because it's like, to me, they're just like this diff, like, I'm just like, Mitch gets so mad at me sometimes. And I'm just like, it's like, okay, I know that, and I'm not trying to say I don't have like a literal problem. I literally know that I do. It's called functional flatulence, and I should be thinking about how to stop it. But I'm like, the smell, okay, I don't find farts funny. Like some people like,
fart jokes.
Like fart humor, I don't find funny, but I'm like, I just like, if someone farts, to me, it's just a smile on my face. I kind of love it. It's a little bit like vulnerable. It's a little bit like, oh my God, you fart in front of me. Like that makes me feel kind of like warmed to you as like up my, like you are comfortable. Like I'm just like, there's nothing bad about it, but I won't not be like, ew, what the fuck? Like if it smells bad, because it's just like, it smells bad and it's like a weird situation. All of a sudden this day is now smells like shit for like 20 seconds.
And that, yeah, I guess that repulsion for me is much stronger. Mm-hmm. Maybe I have a more sensitive nose, or maybe I'm just more sensitive in general.
Disgust, which might be true. Like, do you find there's
when you open like old moldy container food, you're like, obviously that's disgusting. And sometimes it's so disgusting that you want to gag.
Yeah,
and sometimes that's how I feel with your farts.
Oh so, my God.
And I'm not saying it's all of them. I can tolerate many. And obviously there are people that have farted around me and I fart myself. And it's
that with my fart?
There are times that I 100% gag.
He's also like, oh, you think that's going to ever make me want to have sex with you? I'm like, oh my God. Like, you'll
gotta
go
get back
there.
Somehow.
No, I know. And I'm like, okay, I guess I want to get absolutely roasted attractive. And slaughtered in my anus hole. I have to probably stop farting out of it.
Like, if
my
I
partner.
Just carried around a Tupperware of moldy food and opened it around you, you'd probably start to be like, I'm not. That's gross.
I know. It's so funny. Like, those are when you're really trying to make a point. You're like, no, like, I'm not.
I know. I get so mad.
You.
I'm like, Greg.
And I'm like,
I know.
No,
funny.
Those are the moments I remember where I'm like, okay, yeah, true. Like, I'm trying to make sure that we fuck each other. That's true.
Wow.
It's so, actually now in this moment we're admitting becoming an issue in our relationship, which is actually how you define like problems in your life. Like
right.
From even a mental health perspective or addiction to drugs, a lot of the parameters, like if you're filling out a survey, like I wrote a video recently thinking about mental health. A lot of it is like thinking about the impact on your family and friends.
Does
and
it
now I'm like,
have
I have a
impact.
Serious farting problem, like worse than any drug I've ever done or any other thing.
Literally.
Oh
so
my God.
I do, my other study is about how to minimize this.
Okay,
do you want me
to
talk about this now
it.
Or should we save it?
No, say it now because that's all. Also a lot of my study.
Okay,
about that.
Well, also, first of all, I want to kind of debunk the vegetarian thing. Mm. I know it's kind of contested. I think a lot of vegetarians
beans.
Do fart more because there's more fiber. There's like going through you. But I think in general, so you get a lot of gaseous problems
beans.
And your stomach has to
you
adjust
You fart
to
more
it.
When you're vegetarian,
but
know what the thing is, it's
not,
the smell.
It's not necessarily smellier because a lot of times the smell is coming from protein. So the rotten egg smell comes, like you said, from sulfides.
I eat lots of protein. Sorry.
I know.
I'm
that's
panicking. I'm
that's
panicking.
The point.
Okay, okay.
I'm saying I think it's the protein.
Oh,
and since we've gone vegetarian, we supplement with protein because we're trying to excuse me. Oh my God, did I barf?
Are you serious? You just throw up?
No, I just
that's
burped.
Disgusting, Mitch. If you want to fucking make out with
fizzy.
Me, you better not barf.
It's fizzy and I burped and then the fizz came back up.
I'm actually a freak. I'm like, I would love to make out with you while you're barfing. Okay, everyone's turned this podcast off.
What is
for sure
wrong with you?
Point. You know what I mean? Like no one would have made it through that.
Ask yourself, how does Mitch look what I have to go through.
Should we edit like a trigger warning right before that? That's like, please skip this if you ever want to listen. No, it's okay.
We're back. So where was I? Vegetarians often more smelly more gaseous, but not
protein.
So protein. Oh, that's where we were. Okay. And you mentioned how the bacteria breaks down that protein and releases a lot of these sulfides, which stink. So in a study, they actually examined the feces of healthy people who didn't have conditions because also okay. We should also be kind and sympathetic to people who actually have syndromes or like IBS or anything.
Flatulence is a symptom and side effect of many diseases, even medications. And sorry, that's part of what I should have said with functional flatulence is like, I don't have any known diseases,
right?
Or I'm on medication where it's actually like very normal.
Part of that, yes. Yeah. And I mean, you don't know that because I'm always like, you should maybe talk to a doctor just to see if there's something going on, and you've never done that. So it's possible maybe you have IBS or maybe you have.
It's a COVID thing. If the way I'm farting right now, if I wasn't COVID, girl, I would have been at the doctor's office tomorrow.
Will you really? Yesterday. Do you promise me in the podcast when things are back open, like you'll go?
I'm not kidding. When you know how I am with the doctor. I love it. I'm like, this shit's free in Canada. Sorry to the rest of the world. It's like, this is a beautiful joy of paying taxes in this country. I love going to the doctor. It's fully COVID, and know what it is. It's like, I just don't have the heart to pick up the phone. Call and book a fucking
it's
time
not
and
COVID.
On the phone be like, hi. I'm just calling because I have bad farts, and then having them, I know what they're gonna do, and they're gonna talk. Like, I'm literally obsessed with science. Like, I've read everything. They're just gonna tell me shit, and I'm gonna be like, cool convo, and they're gonna be like, we'll see you when we can see you. Like, this isn't
right. It's not high priority.
Yeah, and then they're gonna be like, we can literally x-ray your gut, but it's COVID. Like, do you know what I mean? All the answers to that question rely on it not being COVID. IMO.
So going back into my study, but I will also say the thing that's always confused me is that we have basically the same diet, right? We eat mostly the same things every day. We make meals for each other. We make like and since the pandemic, since we're not eating out as much, it's like we are making and eating the same things all the time.
But there's little things like soy milk, which is very high in protein, which you don't drink and I do.
Well, that's yes. I don't think I did drink soy milk, but I can't drink that much of it because
I'm saying you should try it out. Maybe
then I get bowel problems.
Yeah, there you go. Could be the soy milk.
So maybe it could be the soy milk for you.
Exactly.
Too.
It probably is, but I really enjoy it and it's very high in protein.
It's not the soy milk. So, okay. In the study, examining healthy people's feces, and they mixed it with something called cysteine, which is a sulfur containing component of meat, eggs, dairy, and other protein sources.
Eat it when you're hungover.
Added cysteine to the poop.
Yeah,
it made hydrogen sulfide emissions rise by 7 times. So this thing that's in these proteins, they were like, okay, obviously this is like stimulating the bacteria to release more of this hydrogen sulfide. So they were able to decrease this sulfide production with 4 slowly absorbed carbs. And I need you to take notes.
I'm literally going to tighten this down. I'm not even kidding. I'm like, I know we're talking into microphones, but I'm literally like, tell me fucking everything.
So the thing about these carbohydrates is that they pass through the small intestine with minimal digestion. And as a result, the bacteria preferentially chooses to degrade them over these proteins.
And they're all carbs?
Yes. And the first two are responsible for 75% of this melt or like helping. So we're going to focus on those. Carb number 1, resistant starch, found in potatoes, bananas, legumes, and cereals.
Oh my God, I'm actually freaking out. I'm like, that's all the things I don't eat right
and
now.
And I'm like, every day I eat a whole banana or two every single day.
Oh my God. And what was the first one? Oh, I'm literally like, I'm literally not a picky eater, but I'm like, can always pass a potato unless it's fried as a French. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm not going to waste my calories on those potatoes. They taste like cardboard with water in it as a texture with spice on it. But if you fry it as a fry, obviously I'll eat it. But yeah, no, I don't eat any potatoes. Oh my God.
And then carb number 2 is fructans, which are in wheat, artichokes, and asparagus. I'd say you eat asparagus.
Oh, I eat a lot of asparagus.
But
okay.
I wouldn't say a lot. You think you eat a lot of asparagus?
I do. I actually really love asparagus. I feel like I have a strong relationship. And while alive and sentient on this planet, I think I have a strong relationship with asparagus.
We should actually test for you, though. Make you eat more of these foods one day or for a week and then see if you're still so smelly and then remove them or vice versa and see if
we're doing the thing I would have done on the phone call with the doctor. Except now I didn't have to call a doctor and talk about my farts for 20 minutes. Okay. I really am going to eat a banana every freaking day because I really...
Do you not like bananas?
I don't like bananas. Like, these are all things, like, I'm like, obviously I like bananas, but I don't, like, when I think of my day and I think of, like, the food that I've bought for myself, I'm like, there's other fruits available to me in Toronto that I would way eat before a banana.
I will say bananas, to me, can be both the most disgusting fruit and the best.
Wow. Let's do an episode about bananas.
Should we?
I'm writing it down, but keep talking because that's true.
Ultimately,
bananas are a controversial subject and that fact can't make sense. That's not even the words.
It's like I wrote that song. You don't even know the words.
I don't know the words of my own theme song. Woo!
I just find green bananas unpalatable. Whereas spotty brown bananas, delicious. And I know it's just because there's more sugar. Okay, fine. And I know, like, the greener they are, it's like, the, it's like better for your digestion.
Now I'm like, I don't like bananas because both those descriptions, I was like, ew.
Well, then why don't you just have a normal yellow one?
No.
Happy middle ground.
Oh, okay. I see.
I like the spotty brown.
Yeah, spotty brown. Okay, no, that's fair. I actually like, I love bananas. Know what I love? This is like the ones that like aren't the quintessential yellow, like evil dole banana. versions of plantains. Like, you know, like sometimes you go
Cavendish.
Those tiny, the Cavendish, not the fucking evil Cavendish, the genetically modified.
Is that the one it's called actually?
No, you're, no, Cavendish died out.
Is the old one.
Cavendish is the one that the pear, the fungi took over. And
yeah, what is the new one called again? No, Gros Michel is the old one. Cavendish is the current.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's why I love you. To know the difference between Gros Michel and Cavendish is so, that's so first year biology.
Michael.
Everyone who got a biology degree had that course like genetic modification. Mm-hmm. And here's the story of the Cavendish, which we lost to a fungi because we genetically modified it to be too similar.
You keep saying the Cavendish, but you mean Gros Michel.
Sorry, the Gros Michel. And know what's important? Diversity. In all aspects of life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so I really, really think that bananas are like, I'd never really liked one, but I wouldn't.
You got to find the right time. Really, but I've heard someone else make this joke, like in a podcast I love called Poog, which you showed me. She does mention, I think it was that. Maybe
we should also shout out Poog. It's literally a science podcast. Like,
but it's not literally.
It's not, but they're.
Like literally is the wrong
word
to use.
Actually,
but
like, take
it is an amazing comedy podcast where sometimes they talk about science things.
In beautiful ways. And I think it's their first episode. It's called Organs. And there's a moment where they talk about organs that actually helped me understand where they were in my body physically, which is like anatomy lesson, mm-hmm. in the funniest, coolest way.
Yeah,
so
no,
you know what I mean? Like you-
One of the best pods.
Yeah.
And now I'm like panicking because I'm like, I may not have heard this on this pod, but I just was like, I don't want to say something and not credit it.
Okay.
But it was just like, truly, I have like a 2-day window to eat a banana.
Yeah.
And I buy them and I try to now buy them green because I'm like, I can't eat them all in one day if I buy spotted brown.
This is from, and I know what it's from. It's the person who, Claire Saffitz Baking, the banana bread.
Oh my God.
She said that.
Yeah. That's
what
like, it's from.
She was like,
I have a 2-day window.
And she said it's so nonchalant. And Mitch was like, that's me.
I was like, I've never related to something more. And I was
holy
like,
shit, that's
like,
me.
Greg, I need you to see me right now.
Yeah, and I was and like, cool.
I've never felt more
like
seen
bananas.
By a YouTube video than when Claire Saffitz acknowledged there's a 2-day window for bananas.
Really good banana bread. This is a really side note episode. We're side noting hard. Really good banana bread.
Well, this banana's good for farts. That's what we got.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Banana's good for farts. But the Claire Saffitz banana bread is really good. But know what? You won't think it is because you're like, why am I putting like 3 ounces of almond
butter? Actually, Greg, I'd rather make the kind of like chip banana.
No chocolate chip.
Yeah, her recipe for this banana
you
bread.
I think it's going to be bad.
And even when she released it and cut it open, I was like, looks kind of plain. Looks kind of solid. I want like a wet, moist banana bread. Greg made it one of the best banana breads I've ever made.
Yeah, like something was weird
ever had.
That.
Or maybe it wasn't.
And as I was making it, I was like, this is going to be gross. This is like, it's like I'm making like a weird like soup. Like it was like not right, but it was really good. Okay, so I need to eat bananas. I really love that. I know that there's things, and I want to just say from a scientific perspective, a lot of the things you just said are things I do not eat. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that have cysteine in them, like yogurt, which I absolutely love. I'm white.
Oh, well,
I eat so much fucking Greek yogurt because I'm fucking white as fuck, and I eat yogurt and berries and shit.
This is just anecdotal because I saw people saying online as I was... looking through this, why am I barfing?
I love this talk of gas. I'm like, this guy over here.
No, I don't know. I just should not. I really hate like bubbly stuff.
Oh.
Like carbonated. It always makes me burp so much.
Running that down. Controversial subject. Flat or carbonated water.
Oh, true.
People
what do they say at a restaurant? Do they say flat? They don't say flat, do they? Sparkling
or sparkling
tap.
Or still.
When
you know you're at a bougie, dumb restaurant that you need to leave because you're overspending for a like a barely cooked piece of broccoli. They're like, be foraged. Is when they go, sparkling or still? I'm like, girl, I'm in Toronto. Give me the fucking
tap
water.
Yeah, it's like
this
the still
water.
Because when they say still, it could be from a bottle still.
I know. I'm literally...
And it could cost you $15.
I know. And I'm also like, we're literally in Toronto. Whatever weird-ass Nestle bottle disgusting shit that you have in a bottle is worth... than the gold coming out of our taps.
Literally, go to the stream.
Honestly. Actually, no, look for that. They're going to look out for beaver fever.
Okay.
Whoa, we're side noting so hard, but I'm actually you're about to write down sparkling or carbonate.
Okay, yes, carbonation. Also put that. I know it's the same thing. I just mean like the same episode. To end my thing about those carbs that you should eat if you have smelly farts.
Can you repeat
or should
them
try.
Again? Potatoes, bananas.
So the first was called resistant starch, which is in potatoes, bananas, yes. legumes, and cereals. And carb okay. two was fructans in wheat, artichokes, asparagus. Those account for 75% of the hydrogen sulfide production. Like they help minimize yeah. it. There was another 25%. I didn't write down the names of them because they okay. didn't seem as interesting.
Yeah, no, but this is the one
I was like, we got to go big or go home here.
I know. And this is one of those things where I'm also just like, you know what? I'm going to say it. It's the summer. I'm working on the bod, okay? I'm being vulnerable. I am eating a lot of protein and I'm eating low carb.
So then you need to add more bananas.
But I'm just saying, I am just like, I'm farting a lot because I am eating a diet to try and make my muscles bigger with less... Like, I'm just being honest, okay? And if you guys want to write in the comments, like, nice arm, I'm going to flex right now, it would be great because I'm going to stop at the end of the summer. This is my summer thing. So then,
yeah, we made a podcast called Summer Bodies.
Yeah, we made a podcast called Summer Bodies. Check it out.
Did in your lesson.
So I'm just thinking, there are people who go on that fucking keto, like, high-protein, low-carb shit that I know. And people, and I go, and I always call them out. I go, oh, my God, joint, you probably smell like shit. Like, I literally say that, and they go, what? No. And those are going back to the sociology experiment we're talking about earlier. These are a lot of gay men, so maybe they are repressed through ashamed. The patriarchy of the context of farts in our society. But
or maybe they are fighting against the patriarchy and going, you know what? I'm not going to proudly stand on my fart.
There you go. That's so true.
In front of you.
My point is, if you know someone on a keto, high protein, low carb diet, the science is saying they smell like shit. Smell. And I smell like shit and I'm on one right now. And
you're
my
not
friend.
On a keto diet.
No, I'm just saying, when you're talking about this, I'm on a low whatever. I'm on a low resistant carb diet. I'm on a low resistant carb diet right now. Mm-hmm. Like literally consciously. So I'm saying if you have a friend who's like that, you go ask them if they smell like shit and be around them and tell me if they smell like shit. And that's a science experiment. If they smell like shit, you're contributing to citizen science. Just write it down in a notebook, send
it
to us.
We need an app. We should design an app where we can just do citizen science and just like come up with ridiculous things that we want to study and everyone can like test them.
Okay. Now you have to all let us know, is that a good idea? Because I like that. I love eBird. I'm birding and I contribute to citizen science by enjoying my beautiful time on this planet looking at birds.
There's definitely so many cool citizen science options. There probably are apps out there for
it. We need to make a citizen science app called Fart. Okay, wait. And know what it is? FRT without the A. You know what I mean? Like, Silicon Valley. Yeah. Fart. So it's called Fart.
No, how do we fight against the patriarchy gag?
No,
we're not doing Silicon Valley. We're calling it fart. So that is extra long. It's not minimizing words. We're maximum. Oh,
wait, you want to call the app fart?
I was saying, I just hate Silicon Valley is so stupid and they're always removing the vowels.
I'm not saying it's because I vowels. Like Silicon Valley. They're obviously the epicenter of why the world fucking sucks. But I'm saying, we have to try and get the app sold. Wow, I just became a full capitalist. Like literally in that moment. Okay, fine. You're right. It's called Fart. And it's a citizen science app where you track yourself. Actually, we shouldn't make it about other people. Yourself and your high resistant carb diet or your low resistant carb diet, your high cysteine diet or your low cysteine diet. And you report in honestly and we gather thine info. Okay.
There are people I've read about that, especially medical professionals that can sometimes detect certain disorders from the smell of someone's farts.
Oh my God.
I saw someone talking about how like some doctors who are really familiar will maybe know if someone has Crohn's like even before they do because they can smell the difference in their fart. I think maybe one day smartphones can have an attachment and they'll just detect in your...
Yeah, an air part. And that would be great for any future pandemics. An air particle.
True. What's around here?
Oh my God, we're spitting out the hits. Honestly, take this shit and run with it.
Capitalism has struck us today.
No, and I know
they're gonna be free.
And I don't want to work in Silicon Valley. Like, you can take those ideas if you think they're good. Because like, ew, I don't want to be a part of that. Wow, but farts are enriching. They're enrapturing.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything else to say. We have lots of ASAP Science videos about farts because people like to talk about them.
I feel like
and
I had something else to bring up, but I just can't remember right
That's
now.
So cool about the smelling. I honestly think the coolest people on this planet are teachers and healthcare professionals. We obviously all know that. Mm. And it's just like healthcare professionals, of course they can probably smell Crohn's disease, like some of them. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, I should say this was just casual reading. I'm not like reading a study for that. So I just like,
no, but I'm just
that
like,
out there. I don't know enough about it.
Well, and then I'm just saying fucking healthcare professionals are the coolest people alive. And everyone knows that. They're also the funniest people. And they definitely fart. Actually, I don't know.
They definitely fart.
They definitely fart. We know that. But I'm like, they probably have really interesting relationships with it. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to end?
Wait, I don't have anything else to say.
No, you're. I'm spelling because I was like, there was something else in my mind.
Oh my God, Kate. Farts,
and I'm follow us on Instagram and Twitter to find out, and we'll have Mitch go live later with
BTS
the thought that he
footage of. I feel like this happens every podcast where I'm like, oh my God, I need to look up this thing that I read about, that I saw on TikTok.
I'm not even getting subscribed. We're going to let this end. We love you all so much. Make sure you comment. Okay, wow. I'm so fucking bad at this. And I've been doing this for 10 years.
I always end the podcast.
Okay, no, stop yelling at me. I'm panicking. Okay, so. You need to go into the comments of where you got this podcast. Right? Isn't that what you say? And you write like, oh my God, love this podcast. And then it like, I'm not kidding. Apparently then it like the algorithm's like, hum. And then know what it'll do? It'll help boost this podcast above like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson who like are winning the algorithm. And it's like, we don't want that.
That's true.
And then you also give 5 stars. Apparently that helps.
Yeah, anything you do. Subscribe, listen, share with your friends. Oh my God, I'm doing the thing. I'm taking over. Greg already said it.
Oh my God, peace.
You know what to do, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.